I'm going to open up with a little show and tell this morning, but before I do that, I want to let you know that God has a purpose, just as the scripture says. I have a plan and a purpose, out of Jeremiah 29:11. But I want to say this morning. There is a 60-year-old hotel in Kansas that is being renovated into apartments, okay? And then there's a rusty ship that is docked in Philadelphia, and it's being restored and maybe become a hotel or a museum. And then Hangar 61, an admired piece of architectural building at an old Stapleton Airport in Colorado, is being transformed into a church. You know, each structure had a specific use that is no longer visible to some people. Yet someone came along and saw a vision. So this morning, first off, I want to share. I always hide my stuff over here because I like it to be a surprise. This one here was actually one of my husband's shirts that he wore. And on it, it says, "This shirt I used to wear. Whenever you hold it, know that I am there." And it says, "Love, Papa," on there. Again, this church shirt, of course, he wore this. But there we had another purpose for it, right? A pillow. Okay? This here is actually a door to a cabinet or to a desk. And as you can see, there's the handle, there's the hinges, and it's been restored for another purpose. That's my older two children, and I have four children. I haven't got a recent picture of the two of them, as you can see.
What was that, Lois?
Yes. And then this one. As you know, this is a window frame. It still has the handle at the bottom, and it has the latch on the top. My granddaughter paints, as you can see. She has different seasons that she has painted things on. I got to latch up this one from her. Mom has the rest of them, her daughter, my daughter, and her mom. But the fall and winter, and then this one's a summer or spring. And I cherish it because, of course, my granddaughter painted it. But again, its purpose first was what? A window. But it was repurposed to be a painting. Okay? And you go, okay, Pastor Bonnie, where are you going with this? So, these structures, or these things that I showed you, all had a purpose at one time, but were repurposed. Some of us here today, and I'll be honest with you, I know when my husband passed away, I go, "Lord, now what? Now what do you want me to do? I'm in my 60s. What do you want me to do? Where are you going to put me? What am I going to do? I can't do anything without him." And is it God turned it around and, you know, I ended up here, and I love it. I love it here. I'm so thankful that the Lord has brought me here. But we all go through those seasons. I don't care if you're as young as this beautiful couple here. There's times, haven't you two thought, okay, what's next? God, what's next? Guess what? All of us in this room have experienced that or have asked, "Lord, what's next? What can you do with me?" So this morning, I want to talk about men and women that were in the Bible that were chosen of God. First off, Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of the Lord in Genesis chapter 32. Now, this is when he's on his way to see Esau, his brother, to make amends for, the broken relationship that they had. But he comes across a man, and they end up having this physical battle. And what happens is that through that, the angel knocks his hip joint out of socket, and yet God is showing him that he can still use him, even though he messed up. I mean, he had vengeance for Esau for a long time. And he had unforgiveness for Esau for a long time. And yet God still used him. So don't let Satan come and lie to you and say, I have unforgiveness in my heart. God can't use somebody who has unforgiveness. God will deal with that. God will take care of that. He works on the inside out. He doesn't work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. Now, let's talk about Moses, who talked to a burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Did Moses, when he was talking to the burning bush, have any idea of what God was going to have him to do? Absolutely not. But guess what? He was, what, in his 80s? He couldn't use, I stutter. He couldn't use, I'm getting up there in years, Lord. God doesn't use their excuses. And that hurts to hear that. Here's Paul, who was temporarily blinded in Acts chapter 9. But God got his attention. Even though Paul was murdering Christians, imprisoning Christians, God said, I can use him. He's got some tenacity going on there. And if I can get him to turn around and get to see things the way I see them, I can use this man because he's got tenacity. He's got boldness. Let's look at Esther. Esther was just an ordinary Jewish girl. And yet what did she do? Because she was obedient to what God called her to do. He put her in a place for such a time as this. And what happened? It helped in the fact that she saved a lot of Jewish people from being annihilated because she listened to what God had. If she'd have listened to her flesh or to her mind or her reasoning, she would have said, I'm just an ordinary Jewish girl. What can I do? What can I possibly do? We too may experience circumstances and situations in our lives. But God reminds us what? That he first loved us. Think about it. What Paul did, he thought was right. He really thought getting rid of all these so-called Christians was for the good of the people. He thought what he was doing was right. But God worked through him. First, though, he worked in him. And that's what God wants to do when he brings us here to hear the message. He wants to work in us through his word. And then once we get that word into us time and time and time and time again, and we read the word, then God works through us. For the first time, yesterday morning, I woke up and I had a message from my 11-year-old granddaughter who I just visited. We hadn't even talked about God on that whole week that I was there, but she knows that I'm a woman of God. I woke up yesterday to a text that said, Grandma, I want to start connecting with God, and I need you to show me how to do that. And a little bit later, she goes, I want to read the Bible, Grandma. And then a little while later, she texts me again. She goes, Grandma, there's a lot in that Bible. She goes, I don't know whether I can do that. That's a lot. And so I text her. I said, you know what? Let's start out small, Aubrey. Let's start out small. So I suggested to her to go to a site where she could read one scripture and then read a story that goes with that scripture, like a devotional. And so now she's doing that. But see, God, I didn't hardly say a whole thing while I was down there about it. It was just the way my countenance, just the way I talked, just the way I was, ministered to her in a way that I didn't even notice or was aware of. And here this 11-year-old little girl is saying, Grandma, I want to connect with God. So don't let Satan lie to you and say, you're not accomplishing anything. You're not able to do anything. What you have to offer isn't enough. Or, you know, I can't go out there and be like those evangelist and you know, be bold like that. You don't have to be. Be the way God made you to be and allow what God does in you and come through you. And that will make a difference. People will notice it. Don't let Satan lie to you and say, you're not doing much for the Lord. But you are. You are doing a lot. The thing is, again, know that God first loved you before you loved him. He saw our shortcomings. He saw our lack. He saw our insecurities, our fears, our doubts. He saw all of those things. And he still says, I want to use you. I want to use you. Just like the little girl with the tookie. God used her. And if that's all you got is to give us a tookie, give a tookie. So as we cling to God's promises, we need to ask him to reveal the directions that he has for our lives, his plan for our lives. So let's go on here. It says, after 70 years in exile in Babylon, God promised to bring his people back to Jerusalem and secure their future. So when they called upon the Lord and he heard them, because he promised them, he said, I will hear you. When you call and you cry out, I will hear you. The same is true for us today. All we need to do is call on him. But again, we can't go by our feelings, by our emotions, because they sometimes lie to us. They sometimes overwhelm us. What we need to do is listen and read and fellowship with each other. You know, people don't realize that fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in the Lord ministers in a way that words really can't even explain. Being together in this, you know, here's Glenn, who came last week with Bruce, who would give anything to come here every single Sunday because he said, this is my church family. I connect with this church family. And even Bruce said he's kind of down because, you know, he's living with a guy who's taking care of him in LaSalle, and he's doing great. He's actually going to another church today in LaSalle. But he loves this church family. He loves the people here. It ministers to him. And it's not by what you say so much. It's just that we are together as a family. We all need that. We all thirst for that family environment. And the awesome thing is we not only have our children and our grandchildren, our aunts, our uncles, and our brothers and our sisters as family, but we have a church family. We get a double portion of that love. So, it talks about the 70 years that Israel was put into captivity by the Babylonians. And mind you, it was self-afflicted. You know, they're in all this grief because they are in captivity in Babylon. But it was because of their disobedience to God. But the great thing about this is God tells them that it's only temporary. It's only for 70 years. And you're saying, well, that's fine. I'm 68. So that means I'm probably going to die before we're set free. Most of them were. Most of them were older. And they didn't see that freedom. But he does limit the time that they are in captivity. He says 70 years. Okay? So in Jeremiah 29, 10 through 11, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. So God's made a promise to the people. Okay? And then he goes on, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God spoke these encouraging words to strengthen them, to encourage them. And that's when I, you know, came back from vacation and go, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to minister on this coming week? Right away, the word encouragement came to me. Encouragement. That's what this word is to do today, is to encourage you. God commanded them. He commanded them to build houses. Even though they were in captivity, God commanded the Israel people to build houses, to marry, to have children, and to pray. Get this one. to pray for the land that they were held captive in Babylon. They were to pray over that land. Like, what? Wait a minute, Lord. What? Did I hear you right? But God says this, because as the land prospers, Israelites, you too will prosper. God affirmed that he had established the circumstances again. He established these circumstances, this issue being captive, okay? But again, he gave a limit to them. He said 70 years in exile. God let the people know that he had a good plan for them, and saying that to Jeremiah, to encourage the people, just let them know that that I have a plan for them and that I have a future for them. God gives us grace when we're going through our valleys, when we feel captive, overwhelmed. God gives us grace even amidst the struggles and our circumstances. I have a friend of mine named Connie. I'm sure she's in her 80s now. But when I first met her, we were in a Catholic church. She had 6 children, very busy woman, working full time. But she also taught catechism. And I worked under her. We worked and taught catechism for a few decades. And then we both came to know the Lord in a relation, not a religion, but a relationship. And when we both, she first accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. I mean, here she is. She's taught catechism. I've taught catechism. I had a religion, but I didn't have a relationship. Neither did she. But once she had it, she goes, Bonnie, you've got to listen to these messages. This is the Word of God has come alive. So I started going with her to Bible studies. And the Word of God became alive. And I began to see a relationship with God. So this woman, now who has taught catechism for decades, now is changing. God has changed her ministry. And she's learned to play the guitar herself, plays it beautifully, and went into music ministry. And she can sing alto. And I was singing soprano, and we would sing for weddings and for churches and for mother and daughter banquets, and she would play the guitar, and it was just awesome. It was just awesome to watch this ministry that God gave her. She did that for decades. Last time I talked to her about a year ago, I go, well, what are you doing now, Connie? She goes, I'm playing the bongos at church. And I go, the bongos? She goes, yeah, my fingers aren't doing the thing I want them to do when I'm playing the guitar anymore. She goes, so I get to play the bongos. I go, okay. Well, I just called her the other day. And it was an accident. That's a long story in itself. But I call her, and we talk, and I go, well, what are you up to these days? She goes, well, I've had some falling issues, and I'm still driving, and I'm still doing good. And she goes, but I'm not doing the bongos anymore. I go, well, what are you doing? She goes, once a week, besides our prayer group, she says, I go to the nursing homes. And I go, okay, who hasn't had company? Who hasn't had a visitor that I can go visit with? And that's what she does every single week in Henry, every week. I share this story simply because it's not our age. It hasn't nothing to do with our circumstances. She's fallen a number of times. She's got physical issues herself, but she does not stop her from going on and doing what God's called her to. Now I want to share a story about Elsie. Elsie was struck with cancer. And she was prepared, actually, just to go to heaven. But she ended up recovering from this cancer. Although it left her immobile, she no longer could be ambulatory anymore. And she asked the Lord, why did you spare my life? I mean, what can I possibly do now? I can't even walk anymore. I haven't much money. I have no skills, she says to the Lord. But then Elsie found a small, simple way to serve others. I found this story in Our Daily Bread yesterday. And I always say when I'm doing my message, I go, Lord, I'm not done with this. I'm not completely done with the story. I don't know. There's some more you want to add to this. And sure enough, he brings me this story. What she realizes is, because she's not ambulatory anymore, she has a cleaner come in and clean her house, an individual come in and clean her house. Now, they're immigrants, and they come in, and, you know, they're just barely getting by with things. This Elsie has been giving them food. She's been giving them a couple of dollars here and there whenever it's possible. It blesses them. It encourages them. And the money that she gives them, because of the American currency, that currency is actually more when it's exchanged into their currency. So she's actually, they're getting doubly blessed, okay, financially. But Elsie realizes, I do have a plan. I do have a purpose. I may not be able to walk. I may not have a skill, and I may not have a lot of money. But what I do have, I'm going to share, just like the girl with the turkey. But the great thing is this, you guys. As I said, this message is about encouragement. It not only encouraged this immigrant family, it encouraged Elsie because it made her realize, I too do have a purpose. God does have a plan. No matter where we are in our seasons in life, God can use us. No matter where we are. And then this morning as I woke up and I said, Lord, I know you're still not done here. What else do you want to add? And he brings to my mind, into my spirit, Johnny Erickson Tada. She was 17 years old, and she was injured in a diving competition, and she was left quadriplegic. Now, this woman today, she's an American evangelist. She is an author. She's a radio host. And she also paints horses with her mouth. She cannot use her hands. She cannot use her legs, her feet. She can talk. She does say in her story that she goes, if I would have been able to use my hands, I would have killed myself. I was so frustrated because I couldn't even use my hands to end my life. That's a valley, right? Maybe some of us have been there. Maybe some of us have been to that point. Maybe that's where you are today. Because sometimes we can look at you and everything looks good. Everybody's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. But in here, maybe we're in the deepest valley and we don't feel that there's any more hope and we don't feel there's any more plan for us. But God has a plan and a purpose. If he didn't, you would not be here. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. Think about this. God's thoughts towards you, are continual, nonstop, and innumerable. That's how he thinks about you, 24/7. That's how he sees you. God Almighty, the one who holds the heavens in the span of his hands, the God who spoke creation into existence, is thinking about you. About your plan, your purpose. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew you before the beginning of time. What kind of God do we have? That we have a God that knows us before we were even thought of? Jeremiah 29:11 speaks of the future. Listen to this. The word used here for future could be translated an expected end. God has an expected end for each and every one of us. He has an expected end for us. Remember the sign I said I had in my refrigerator? Be patient with me. God's not done with me yet. Another translation describes it as a ground of hope. Future is a ground of hope. Things to hope for. There will be an outcome in our life, regardless of what we are going through in our seasons. What God has finished in you, he is able to complete. He who started a great work in you, he is faithful, faithful, faithful to complete it. We are still all, every one of us in this room, are a work in progress. God is still finishing each and every one of us. So don't get impatient. Don't get impatient. Don't feel that it's over just because you think you're not there yet. You're not. It's not about getting to the place. It's about the journey getting there. That's what I want to encourage you with. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. I have a great-granddaughter, and I can hear my granddaughter saying, I can't wait till she can crawl. I can't wait till she can do this. I can't wait till she can do that. I go, stop. Enjoy the journey, because I'm looking back saying I'd give anything to be able to hold my first daughter in my arms again. I'd give anything for that moment again. All of us here that have children or nieces and nephews, you can relate to this. Enjoy the journey. God says, enjoy the journey. God had a purpose for Paul, for Moses, for Esther, for Jacob, and he still has a plan for you. Amen? With that, let's go ahead and bow our heads and close with prayer. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So, Father, we thank you that you gave these words so long ago to Jeremiah to share with those Jews who are in exile and away from their home. Lord, thank you that you also gave these words to us today. They are as more effective and powerful today as they were back then. And we thank you that because of Jesus, you are our God as well. We have been grafted into your family, and we are so blessed by you. You are indeed Lord of all. Father, we surrender our hearts and our lives, our futures, our hope is in you. And Jesus, take our tukkie. Take our tukkie and use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.